KUGN News Talk 590, along with Grant MacHill. I'm Storm Kennedy. We have two guests joining us this morning in Dr. Randy Phelps and Deanna Simon. Good morning, you two.
Hello.
Good morning.
Deanna, I'm going to start with you. Deanna Simon is a toxics reduction specialist who has worked for 5 years with the IPM program. We're going to find out what the IPM program is in just a minute. But first, Deanna, I want to ask you about something happening today at the state capitol. It's a big day, is it not?
It is definitely a big day. Today is lobby day for the Safe Public Places Act at the state capitol. Beyond Toxics and a whole bunch of kids and beekeepers and moms and dads are going to be there talking to over 32 legislators, and we're really trying to get Oregon to take the lead and reduce pesticide use in public places where people can be exposed to those toxic chemicals.
So give us the details of House Bill 3364, the Safe Public Places Act. What will it do?
So what the Safe Public Places Act would do is it would simply ask Oregon state agencies to adopt what is right now industry standard practices to reduce pesticide use and use non-toxic pest control measures whenever possible. The other thing it would do is it would require agencies to alert the public when and where they do use pesticides, because we believe that users of public facilities have the right to know if they're being exposed to chemicals or not. And the third thing it would do is it would set up official coordination between state agencies and Oregon State University's really world-renowned IPM coordinator and IPM program. So it sets up a support system to help agencies do the right thing.
Deanna, why is Beyond Toxics supporting the bill and, better yet, recommending it?
Well, pesticides are inherently toxic because they are designed to kill living organisms. And the safety testing that's done on them is not complete. The people that use public places the most tend to be some of the populations that are the most susceptible to chemical exposure. So women, pregnant women, children, lower-income families. So there's a big concern and a widely recognized concern that pesticides are bad for us. The state of Oregon really has the opportunity to take the lead and protect its workers and protect the users of its facilities.
Well, you mentioned the state of Oregon can take the lead in this. Are any other success stories from somewhere that has already implemented this program?
Yeah, San Francisco was one of the first ones to do it. They've been doing it for over 12 years, and they've reduced pesticide use by about 80%. And Washington Department of Transportation is another agency close by that has also reduced pesticide use by about 70%. And what typically happens is people put in some effort in the beginning, they take care of the low-hanging fruit, and then things steady out. And so both San Francisco and Washington reduce their pesticide use, and they are sort of, you know, they are maintaining their use. Workers are complaining less about chemical exposure, and they're both model programs that are getting a lot of acclaim.
Along with Deanna Simon, we also have Dr. Randy Phelps, and Dr. Randy Phelps is a developmental and behavioral pediatrician and assistant professor of pediatrics at the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center, Oregon Health Sciences University, and at the U of O. Good morning, Dr. Phelps. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, Dr. Phelps, do we have any evidence that pesticides can harm a child in the womb?
Well, as Deanna said, pesticides, for example, insecticides, are designed to destroy nervous systems of insects, and we use similar neurotransmitters as insects. And herbicides are known endocrine disruptors and developmental disruptors. So that in the lab, we know that these chemicals are toxins. The question is exposure happening? And when exposure is measured, does it correlate with any change in development? And the answers to those questions are yes. Pesticide residues have been measured in meconium, which is the, you know, poop of a newborn baby. It's also been measured in umbilical cord blood. It's been measured in breast milk. It's been measured in maternal urine around the time of delivery, and it's also been measured in children's urine. And we know from the Triangle Lake study that 100% of participants had urine metabolites of atrazine and 2,4-D. So we know that exposure happens to people, and these are not people necessarily who are working in the field. These are people that are just going about their regular everyday lives, and the exposures are measured in these individuals without their knowledge that they've been exposed. And then the next question is, when that kind of casual exposure occurs without people knowing it, is there an impact on development? And there are a couple of large ongoing studies, one in New York and one in the Central Valley of California, that have followed kids from birth on through the first few years of development. And these show that correlating with levels of exposure and controlling for other kinds of issues, socioeconomic levels, and et cetera, that level of exposure does correlate with slightly lower scores on developmental tests, IQ tests, and also higher symptoms on a child behavior checklist, which measures things such as autism symptoms. So these are subtle effects per individual, these are subtle effects. But when you look at it over the course of a whole population, these are clinically significant, and they are relevant, and they're statistically significant and correlate with exposure.
Now, Dr. Phelps, do medical doctors support the Safe Public Places Act?
Well, I'm a medical doctor who does, and a lot of other medical doctors do. We recently spoke over at Riverbend, and there are a lot of doctors that were interested in that. I know that some doctors have made public statements. The Oregon Medical Association has made a statement in favor of integrated pest management.
Now, what do you recommend the government do to protect children from toxic chemicals and to encourage their healthy development?
One part of a larger program to promote healthy development of children would be to reduce this kind of casual exposure to poisons that damage the developing brain. And I'm most concerned about prenatal exposure. The best evidence is that prenatal exposure is a problem. And the problem is, of course, you can't tell women who are pregnant to stay out of the public areas. The most sensitive time of pregnancy is the first trimester, so a lot of times women might not even know they're pregnant yet. And so there really is no way to quarantine people and tell them that they can't go into public, of course. And so the best thing to do is to reduce the dispersal of these toxins in public areas to reduce exposure, especially to pregnant women. The other thing to keep in mind is that as a prescriber of medications, sometimes I prescribe psychotropic medications. And when I do so, I always engage the family in an informed consent process. So I talk to the family about the pros and cons of medication. There are advantages and disadvantages of a medication. And then parents make an informed decision. We're not, at this point, I don't think the community is really being engaged in enough of an informed consent process, and I think we should be. We might decide, if we were given all the information and all the data, maybe Oregon would decide that we want to continue things the way that they are, or maybe we would decide to implement integrated pest management. But the issue is, I don't think that we're really being asked. I don't think we're being engaged as a state. I don't think citizens generally are being engaged in an informed consent process. I don't think people are informed, and I don't think people are giving their consent, and these exposures are occurring without people's knowledge.
Now, on that note, Deanna, I want to go back to you and ask, where can people find out more information on this?
On the web at safepublicplaces.org.
safepublicplaces.org. And if somebody wanted to join you at the Capitol this morning, is that welcoming?
Absolutely. We're meeting in the lobby at 9 a.m., and we're talking about talking points and who to visit during the day. We welcome anybody who would like to come down and support the Safe Public Places Act.
And Dr. Phelps, in your opinion, do you think this bill will pass?
Politics, that's not my area of expertise. I hope it does. I think it's a very reasonable, very, very moderate bill. Again, it's not telling people what they can do on their private land. This is for public land, and it's not banning all pesticides. It's just integrated pest management. I think it's a very rational and reasonable and moderate approach.
Well, I have to say, Deanna Simon, who is a specialist who helped to implement and has worked on this program for 5 years, really appreciate your time and your knowledge on this and all that you've been doing. And thanks for joining us, as well as you. Dr. Randy Phelps, appreciate your time this morning and all that you have done through the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center at Oregon Health and Sciences University, as well as the University of Oregon. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are KUGN News Talk 590.